Hey, everybody, welcome back to another amazing episode of the best darn show on the internet, the Oversharing Show. We have an awesome show for you today. We have a returning guest, but before we get into all that, I'm going to read today's quote. And Sharon found this quote, I believe. It says, "Can you remember who you were before the world told you who to be?" Can you remember who you
Actually,
were before the world told
by...
you who to be? Charles Bukowski.
Actually, our dear friend Nick just sent that, and I forwarded it into the chat, I think.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, even better then.
So, total sync. And today I will be pulling from a new deck.
Ooh.
Because I, like, had FOMO, and I wanted the deck. I also wanted the deck. So, I will be playing cards. And we'll see how we'll see what we do. We'll see what we get here.
We'll see what we see.
Aha. Uh-huh. The Six of Cups.
Ooh.
Six of Cups. I'm trying to remember which one that one is in the Rider-Waite.
Good question. I'll pull it up while you were talking. That's the thing. I haven't been using the tarot as much as I used to, and now I used to know them all by heart, but now I kind of,
So this, instead of being a book, is like, it looks like a map almost. So you have to like unfold it and everything. It's kind of
is the one I thought it was. Huh. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's the one with the little children. One's handing the other one. Here, let me find this one. Looks good. I'll share it with a lovely audience.
Okay. And I'll read.
Cool. And it actually says something on the screen too. It says Six of Cups, reunion, reminiscing, living in the past.
Oh, see, I don't usually get that card. So I don't, it's not one that I pull regularly. So that's why I don't remember it much.
I just want to say, I wish I could live in that tarot card. I mean, you know, there's a guy in the background with a spear. It's a very like
back
fortified, you know, it's very safe fortifications. It's like behind the castle walls. I could see myself walking around there with a short sword. Anyway.
like the Hobbit, like Bilbo.
Or like Dune, because it is the future and space travel is a thing. But for some reason, there's these body shields that were invented. So it stopped, like nobody really uses guns anymore. They reverted back to using swords in hand-to-hand combat. It's really, really interesting.
Wow. Well, so. Some of us are getting FOMO with the Dune, so we're going to have to catch up with you.
About time.
let me read from this, which is kind of hard to read while I'm into speaking here into the microphone. Upright, you may find yourself reminiscing about the Shire, about simpler times and the joys of uncomplicated living. What were we just talking about?
Yeah. Walking around with a short sword, it's not that complicated, you know, either.
Go ahead. Your heart is longing for a connection to your past, a walk down memory lane, and a happiness similar to the sort you once felt. You can bring the energy of the Six of Cups into your life by reconnecting with old friends, visiting your hometown, or even taking up activities that once brought you joy. Allow yourself to play and be nostalgic. I'll just read that part. Dude, I feel like that's so like apropos for this convo.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
That is wild, yeah.
That is wild. You know, it's so crazy how this universe works. This lovely thought process experiment or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yes, anyway. Indeed.
Sorry.
But yes, lovely deck.
Here, let me pin you so people can see it. Go ahead, do it again.
The deck.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So we have, again, as everybody probably knows, who our dear friend is, Nick Woodshop and Woodshop the Wise. And we have him back and we're just going to chit chat. So tell us what you want to talk about today.
First, thanks for having me back. I thought it would be interesting to have a conversation just about healing, but in much greater depth than what we've ever talked about, or what I've ever talked about elsewhere as well. It's just something that I've been thinking about for many months now, many years. I mean, your entire life, right? Everybody wants to heal and get better, but I thought it would be fun to just have a conversation about what actually is healing. You know, I think a lot of people don't even start there. So that should be a fun conversation. So I can just jump into it if you guys want, or
tell us how you started thinking about what brought you to the exact moments of you thinking about these healing thoughts. Of the most recent ones, I should say.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody has a basic understanding of what trauma is, you know? And I think a lot of people are given information on how to heal trauma by people who have never healed their own trauma. And I think that's a recipe for disaster, and it's just wasted time. So I've been thinking a lot this last year, especially about, you know, traumas that I've been through in my own life and what has held me back from actually healing them. And then that launched me down a rabbit hole of what even is healing, you know, like, what is it that I need to even heal? Cause I felt like I was trying to heal all these things, but it wasn't adding up, because I knew that these were things that, brought me whatever amount of turmoil in my own life, you know, or suffering or pain, but it wasn't adding up, because I'm consciously aware that this maybe hurt me in the past. So shouldn't that help me get over it? But then it's something that you can't really explain. You just kind of feel that it's still inside of you. So yeah. And then that propelled me into what actually is healing. So I think it's important, because how we frame, like in Western society, right? How we frame disease dictates how we treat it. If you go to a doctor and say, "I don't feel like myself, I feel down," that doctor is going to look you straight in the eye and say, "Oh, you need Zoloft." That's how we're going to treat it, because it's a brain imbalance, right? And then you go to maybe a naturopath and they go, "Well, yeah, maybe you don't have enough serotonin in your brain, but serotonin is made in your gut. So it's a gut issue." But you can go even further than that and go, "Well, what's causing the imbalance in your gut?" And some people will say it could be diet, but it's not always physical.
Exactly.
You know, like, and that's where I really like diving into is, there's easy answers here in the physical realm, and then there are much deeper answers in the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. That are often not spoken about. So,
or even, dare I say, the etheric realm.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's kind of like we were talking about, really quickly, let me jump in. When Sharon and I did the live stream, we were talking about the physical over the, my screen just blanked out really quick. That was crazy.
And you spoke really fast too for a second.
Oh, you know, I must have like dodged out for a second. Micro machine. So anyway, we were on that live stream a few weeks ago. Sharon and I were talking about materialism, and we were talking about spirit over physical with the representation of the pentagram. If it's star pointing up with the two down, the top represents spirit, and the other four parts of the star represent the elements like fire, water, air, and earth. So in that position, when you have the pentagram facing up, it's supposed to be the good one. And that's because that's the belief that you're putting the spirit over all that stuff. So you realize, or you're symbolizing, that spirit is above that. Now, when you turn it upside down and you have the Satan worshipers in the pentagram and it's a goat, it could be all those things, but the symbol's many things. And also, chiefly to me, what it represents is somebody who, or, you know, even an organization who's putting the physical over the spiritual, and they're saying it's more important. And really what that breaks down is to a slave mindset and a non-slave mindset. And this is what Sharon and I talked about. So if you haven't seen that, go watch that. Gotten some really good feedback, and my woman really liked it too, which is, you know, it's like the best compliment of all. Love. That's you, honey. Awesome. So I think what you're talking about, which just to add what I wanted to say, is like, I think a lot of people unconsciously, not even knowing it, will put the physical over the spiritual. So they look for these answers in the physical, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it could be some kind of escapism, because then you get like to be the master of all these, like, we'll say like supplements, and listen, there's nothing wrong with supplements. I love them. We take them, all this stuff. But sometimes, you know, people, instead of having like a medicine cabinet full of stuff from like big pharma, all these petrochemical medicines, they have a whole like cupboard full of these supplement pills that they're taking like every day. And like, I've heard all this stuff recently about vitamin D. Like vitamin D pills, there's like really no way to make a pill. It's like a huge scam, allegedly. And I don't want to start a fight here with people in our show, but, you know, I mean, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but that's why I just sit in the sun. But anyway,
yep.
The physical versus the spiritual, I really like that. And I wanted to lay that out a little more for people, because what I think you're going to be talking about, I'm pretty sure, has more to deal with the spiritual realm and healing and all that stuff.
Yeah. And that's a total sync with me, because I've been recently thinking about the stuff you're talking about, like, you know, the, you know, the supplements and like having a bunch of, I mean, I used to do that. I still have a cupboard full of them. I mean, I use them here and there, but it's like when I know, it's funny, because I was thinking the other day of people who are like, I take this and do this every single day. And I'm like, that's like a lot. And the thing is, like, if you think that, I mean, it's fine that you're trying to help yourself, right? With some, you know, maybe some herbal things, right? But your body doesn't necessarily, it's like the escapism. It totally is an escapism, because your body's not necessarily looking for that to be the answer. Like, sometimes it might help, right? But what I found in my own personal experience is that it didn't do anything for me. Like, I would take these massive amounts of like things, and it didn't do anything. But
oh yeah, I remember that. Like, even weed, like cannabis, doesn't affect you. Maybe if you eat it, it does, but when you smoke it, yeah, it's amazing. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I would take all kind of stuff.
And, even kratom, right? You never really got anything out of kratom, did you?
I don't feel it like people say, like, oh, you should feel like this or you should feel like that. And I'm like, I don't feel anything happening to me. But when I have taken kratom as a like boost for like thinking or like just like using my brain better, I think it has helped. But it's not like something that I can say that I physically notice. I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah. So like, I was taking all these things and like, I wouldn't really notice much. So I'm just like, okay, that must not be the answer. And so like, I have piles and like cupboard full of like unused, some brand new. And, you know, it's every once in a while I'll go back and I'll be like, you know what? I think that's what your body is cool with. It's like, if you intuitively say, you know what? I feel like I need to take this right now, or I want to take this right now. That's cool. Like, listening to your body, but like having like a lineup of like, I do this every single day. Like, your body at some point's like, okay, I'm just not going to tell you anything anymore, because you're clearly not listening to me.
yeah, that's very important. And let me be clear too about a lot of these supplements, because, you know, we talk about physical and spiritual and putting the spiritual above, and it's from, but we got to remember, we all grew up in a society of materialism. So it's, for some people, especially if they're addicted to other drugs, some of these things really help them. And I actually really like kratom. I think it's cool. But, so obviously we're not making judgments. If you're somebody who watches this and you
and everyone use supplements, is different. Everybody's body is different. Well,
yeah. And also, I think it does make it easier, because if it can ease a pain in the physical, then you can maybe focus more on the spiritual. But what I would say is always try to use a spiritual practice alongside anything you're doing with the physical, because I've noticed that it just like opens your eyes more, you know. Mm-hmm. And if this truly is just a realm, like a spiritual realm, like I say all the time, then technically you could just think things and then it would happen. But I think you actually have to somehow gain that belief in that. So like I think you could probably fly like Neo. You could probably be like Neo. Levitate, not telling anyone flying. To try this, all right? But I think that, but you just actually have to believe it. And it's so hard to have that faith in that, you know? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, sorry to derail you.
Anyway, we have a guest,
not at all.
We're oversharing. This is great.
No, everything that you guys just said is actually on page 2 of my notes. So it's the syncs are off the charts today.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I love all that. I'll get to it when I get to the notes because I'm going to derail myself if I try to hop around.
Oh yeah, no. Please.
So
do your thing.
So as I said, like how we frame disease dictates how we treat it. And I think that goes the same for trauma as well. So if you go into it thinking that there's something wrong with you, right? Like our way of thinking about any dis-ease in Western culture is basically that there's like a dirty connotation to it. And it's very backwards from what's actually happening. So if you have like an infection in your body, there's like a dirty connotation, right? Like there's something gross in me.
Germs.
There's germs, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. And all that is bacteria that already lives on your body.
Yes.
Your entire life, there's just an imbalance, right? So the bacteria that keeps that bacteria at bay is not as prevalent as it should be. So then there's an overgrowth of bacteria. There's nothing dirty about it. People get freaked out about like, oh, staph infection. I'm going to get a staph. You have staph living on your skin. You have staph inside of your body. It's been there from the day you were born. It's always there. The only time that you get a visible infection is if there's an imbalance and the other stuff is not able to keep it from over reproducing on your skin. So I think that goes for trauma as well. And, what the real disease is or dis-ease, what's causing that trauma, what's causing that suffering, what's causing that thing where you know you have an issue. Sometimes you even know what the issue is, but you don't know how to rectify that issue. At this point, I would argue it is hiding that inner child, hiding who you really are, that's actually causing the disease. It's not anything in the physical realm. It's not anything that anybody did to you. It's hiding who you really are. So what actually causes the trauma in the first place? This is a tricky one because situations can be traumatic. They can be scary, right? But what actually causes that trauma, I think, is the expectations that you put on people that are then broken. And what I mean by that is as a child, you expect your parents to be perfect, right? You have, at least I did when I was a kid, it's like they are the people in your home who are supposed to teach you, protect you, provide for you, comfort you, love you, teach you. And the second that any one of those things is broken, it can be traumatic as a child, right? You're a child and you have your parent yell at you or, raise a hand to you or something. If I got spanked when I was a kid,
yep.
And I got the belt when I was a kid, when I mouthed off. And when I got a little bit older and I called my dad an asshole in the middle of the belt, he flipped it around in the air in between and started using the buckle. And so it's like, you can say that those things are traumatic, but the actual action itself passes very quickly, right? You get spanked, your butt cheek hurts for a little while and then it's over. But it's that emotional damage that actually causes you the long-term suffering and the long-term trauma. And I think that's bred from broken expectations. that you put on other people. And that's where it gets tricky, is you never let that person know that you were expecting those things. So there's a great quote, I forget who says it, but it says, they didn't break your heart, they broke your expectations. And that is so true in this life, because you put expectations on other people, and then you don't tell them that those expectations are there. So they don't even have a chance to do anything to live up to those expectations, right? They don't even know that they broke an expectation because they don't know that it's there.
Yeah, I've also heard those referred to as covert contracts. I don't know if you've heard that term before.
Oh, I like that term.
Yeah, so you have a contract, and I'll just get into illustrate here a little more, is to clarify. So say you have a couple that's married. The husband might expect the woman to cook and do the dishes. Say they both work, right? He might expect that, and there might not have talked about it ahead of time, and she just might expect him to empty the trash all the time. But since they don't know that's their roles, they might not do it all the time, and then it causes friction. So yeah.
And yeah. Massive amounts of resentment.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of times, guys or women they'll just act nice. This happens a lot with guys. They act nice and they're trying to be people pleasers and solve problems, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're just doing that all the time and it's not wanted, it could be bad. But you just keep doing that, and then you get so frustrated inside. I know, because I used to do this. You're nice. And finally you get to a point and you just like rage out like the Incredible Hulk. So, yeah, it's the other side of that.
And so talking
and
about
broken communication too. And since you're a child, just sorry to interject, but just since you're a baby or a child, you don't really know that you can communicate, or that you need to communicate, or maybe you don't know how to communicate because you haven't really been taught to communicate. So yeah, that's how it starts probably.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about expectations, so we put an expectation on somebody else. They break that expectation, right? Which I think is the catalyst for a lot of what we call trauma. But then the interesting thing is, so what is causing that trauma to... What's causing that trauma to live on, right? Beyond a very short, brief window after an event happens. And I think that, let me jump ahead here for a second. I'll say this, like anxiety, I've dealt with anxiety a lot in my life, the last 15 years, but even as a child as well. Anxiety is the act of thinking about anxiety. And what I mean by that is there are things in this life that can raise your adrenaline briefly, right? You get that fight or flight response. You feel anxious. But actual anxiety, where you're just in this constant state of worry, it becomes that, and it morphs into that because you're in that constant state of worry. And this is not speculation. This is proven. That the things that you think about on a regular basis, your brain actually rewires itself to look for those things in nature, in life. So if you're constantly thinking about being scared of something, then your brain is going to look for that something in the world because it perceives it as a threat. And I think that that is what anxiety is as well. You know, like a lot of people think that they're anxious about certain things, right? Oh, I'm anxious about public speaking. Are you really, or are you anxious that you're going to have an anxiety attack if you have to publicly speak? It's that fear of anxiety that causes the anxiety. And I think that same thing happens with trauma as well. It's a not letting go of what happened and constantly thinking about what happened that causes you to harbor those feelings, those traumatic feelings or thoughts. And it's like a downward spiral over time. you think about it. So then your brain tells you to think about it more because it now registers that it's something important that you need to think about. So then you think about the trauma even more. And then over time, that eventually really starts to change your perception of the world in very dark ways. And one of those ways is, I have it written down here, expectations put on yourself retroactively. So you can look at your own life knowingly or unknowingly. And I'm sure that we have all done this. Everybody that's listening has done this at some point in their life. And most people do it frequently, is they'll look at something that happened in their past and they'll judge themselves. Oh, I was so stupid for doing this. I never should have done this.
Absolutely. But
what most people don't realize is that that's putting an expectation on yourself in the past. You can't change what you did in the past. So now, you know, you had potential, like you put expectations on others and then they were broken. And that's what caused some of your trauma. Now you're doing that to yourself, but in an even more unfair way, because you can't go back in time and change what you did in the past, right?
Absolutely.
So you put these expectations, I shouldn't have been so stupid. That you're putting an expectation on a younger version of yourself to not be so stupid. That's unfair to yourself. And it's ironically transforming you into the very thing that caused you trauma in the first place, which is people putting expectations on you and you putting expectations on other people. So I'll stop there and you guys can weigh in on that. And then I'll keep going with all this because there's a lot here to unpack.
I was going to say, that's, I think, where when people say they have no regrets, you know, because you can't possibly, like you said, you can't go change the past and you can't expect that the person you are now, recognizing what you know now, is the person that you were before. Like, clearly you didn't know the things you know now to have made the decisions and you know, use the wisdom you had. You didn't have that. So how unfair is it for you to be judging that part of yourself, that past version of yourself? Yes, very wise indeed.
Yeah, and I think the larger, like, what's behind all this is acceptance. Because, you know, people like Alan Watts talk about this a lot and like Ram Dass and stuff. And they're always like, when something happens, you have a choice on how you're going to feel. And if you just realize and accept it right away, because it is what happened, it's the truth. There's no denying that a car just smashed into you. You know, you could get all upset and pissed off about it. And it can, you know, ruin your day. Like recently, I was in a little fender bender with my Tahoe. Well, not recently, but the end of last year. And, you know, I got hit and I was on my way to work, but I could have been like, oh man, I'm going to be late. And I could have been pissed and I had to deal with the cop. Good thing it wasn't my fault, but I was like really cool. And I actually even made the cop laugh and have a fun day. So, you know, it's more about just kind of accepting things the way they are. And then you don't really have to have expectations. You kind of leave your expectations at the door. Yeah. Just be like in wonder, like, wow, this really just happened. Isn't this universe crazy?
Present moment. Totally. Yeah. That's, I feel like that's how I've been a lot of my life, because I think I said this on a really old episode, but like, I've just been like you said, in wonder my whole life. I've just been like, oh, like when something happens or like, let's say it's tragic or just like unexpected, I'm usually I'm just in awe or in wonder. And it takes me a while to like register what just happened. So I think that's helped me, because I don't tend to get stuck in those things. Now, of course, I've had experiences where I've had expectations of someone that they haven't met, and that's very frustrating and upsetting. So I get that too. But yeah, it has been helpful to have this sort of like wonder about things And I also haven't encountered really, really tragic. Like, I don't think I've ever seen like a horrible accident happen in front of me or anything like that, you know, that sort of thing. But I have watched my husband pass away right in front of me. That is like one of the most, you have no idea feelings ever. Like, you just have no idea what's going to be like until it happens. It's so bizarre.
Especially being young. I mean, I guess, you know, people still, when they're older, don't want to let go. But sometimes for some people, it's easier when they're older. But when you're young like that, and then you lose a spouse right in front of you, that's got to be crazy.
Yeah, it's mind blowing.
That's wild. Yeah. Yeah, I can't even fathom.
And Sharon tells that whole story on episode 13, everybody. So go back, episode 13, we talk about death and we talk about people we know that died in our lives. And it's a really good episode, so check it out. Anyway, go ahead. I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, number 13. That's great. It's 13. No, I've lost people. I've lost friends, you know, and like extended family, but someone that close would be wild to lose. Moving forward, you know, like we've established, I mean, at least I think, you know, that's just my personal opinion. What is trauma? Why does it linger? Because we continue to think about it. And it's one of those things. I had a lot of anxiety after a car accident that I was in that really messed me up like for almost 15 years ago now. And I couldn't figure it out for years why I was still, it changed me in such a crazy way. Prior to that, my wife and I would, you know, have a weekend off work and we would just jump in the car and drive hundreds of miles. We'd go to the ocean here in Oregon, or we'd drive down to a mountain or something. And it was just the act of being on the highway and just driving and listening to music and having the windows down, you know, sightseeing. We'd go hiking, we'd go to the beach, we'd go all these places. And then post car accident, I couldn't even drive my car. I was terrified. And they ended up diagnosing me with legitimate PTSD from that accident. And they did brain scans and found that my amygdala and my brain had shrunk like 8% and was just not working. I wasn't having REM cycles of sleep for almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. So it was like a backlog of stimuli that I was taking in for 5 years. Every sight, every smell, every taste, every touch, every thought, everything wasn't being processed like it should be in that REM cycle. But I couldn't figure out why I couldn't let go of this fear of driving and this fear of getting into a car accident again and all this stuff. And then I over time realized it's because that's all I was thinking about. Like when I got into the car, I thought about, am I going to get into a car accident? And that's what actually sparked the anxiety. It wasn't the driving itself. It was what I was thinking about. So through a couple years of being very diligent and conscious of my thoughts, I was able to let that go. And that just involves choosing to think of other things. And I think that it's so simple that it's often overlooked or minimized, but healing in that way, letting go of the thoughts, really is that simple. It's a conscious choice to think about other things. In any situation, you can choose to focus on fear or pain or suffering or sadness, or you can choose to think about something else. You know, I think that's what drives it. And I'll switch gears here a little bit and I'll talk about what is actual freedom. That might sound strange, but I think that is an integral part of dealing with trauma. Is you think when you had when you were a child, at least I don't remember being anxious. I don't know if you guys do, but before the trauma kicks in, right? You don't feel anxious. You're just, everything is incredible. Everything is amazing. You go outside and you find a rock and you're like, oh my God, I found a rock. You know, or you pick up a stick or you see a butterfly. Like, this world is so beautiful when you're a child. And then what changes that, right? Those experiences that you have where something causes you to put a wall up, and that wall is put up out of a feeling of needing to defend yourself so that you don't get hurt again. But those walls are what end up hurting you in the long run. And that's something that we don't know as children, but as adults, we really, I think, need to look at that and understand the truth in that, that those walls that we put up to keep pain out don't actually keep pain out. They just keep it locked in with us. But what they do is keep love out. They keep potential opportunities out. They keep potential relationships or friendships out. They keep your entire intended life path out if you let them. So we'll use that and I guess jump into the deeper stuff now. Because, you know, like children, so let me jump back. What is freedom? I think that freedom is the ability to express who you are without any fear. Mm. That's ultimate freedom.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, freedom as a word, I think, gets hijacked. So you have, you know, the people in the States who are like, oh, you want freedom? Go to Texas. Go ride a giraffe and eat some barbecue and then play with a tiger and, you know, wave your American flag around. That's not freedom.
And shoot a wild boar.
Yeah, go shoot some boars. That's not freedom. That's like the most primal, carnal, like, definition of it. And but it's not freedom. I think that true freedom is being able to be who you are without fear of judgment or just fear in general. And I will put a caveat there and say that that has also been, as everything is, like, hijacked and inverted. And when I say that, I'm not meaning the new, I'll choose my words so you don't get taken down, some new movement where you cut off your genitalia and dye your hair pink. That's not the freedom that I'm talking about. Because that's not being who you really are.
No.
I will make that claim that you didn't come out of the womb wanting to mutilate yourself and completely transform yourself.
Exactly.
Who you really are. So, like, when I was a kid, you have boundless optimism and self-belief to the point where when you're running, you know, it's such a mind-warping thing to have children and see them now doing it. And then to remember where you were when you were a kid. But when your kid is running and your kid is like, you know that you as an adult could take two steps and you travel as the distance that they take 10 steps to take, right? But in that child's mind, they're running faster than anything has ever run in their life. Like, that child could outrun a cheetah. That child can outrun a helicopter. That's how I felt when I was super young, you know, a toddler. It's like, I'm running so fast. I'm jumping so high. It's just like this unbelievable level of belief in self. And, you know, you ask a kid, what do you want to be when they grow up? And it's just immediate. I want to be this. I want to be that. I'm going to be a sports player. Or I'm going to be a fireman, or I'm going to, whatever it is, there's no doubt. It's completely void of any doubt. The kids just believe in themselves, man. And they don't have that fear of judgment or rejection, or they don't feel that societal pressure to conform, right? So I would say that that's more in line with true freedom.
And it's true intuition too. It's they're just being intuitive and thinking
things.
I'm going to do this. I like this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And you were talking about diet and supplements earlier. Children are like that as well. Children intuitively eat. There are times where my child will want to eat 10 strawberries. And then there's other times where she says, I don't want a strawberry right now. I think that that's because the body knows what is in a food.
Yes.
Indeed. You eat a food, the body knows what nutrition is in that food. Yes. And then it says later on, you know, oh, I might need some vitamin C. These are all the foods that have vitamin C. And then it sends a signal to your brain, go eat some of this food.
Yeah.
So my children eat intuitively like that. And this is all going to make sense in a second.
Oh, no.
So,
great.
So with all that being said, I think that there is like just an epidemic at this point. It's like a spell. So you go through life with all of this trauma, right? And then you see it oftentimes, people in their 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever. It used to be a midlife crisis, right? It used to be someone turns 50, 60 years old and they snap and they go out and they buy a car or they buy something, right?
Corvette.
Yeah, that's the classic example. And it's like, everybody's made fun of that. But it's actually very sad because those people have attempted to put on a mask and be somebody that they're not for 50 or 60 years. And then they hit a point where they look at themselves in the mirror and it's like their inner child is seeing without any blinders in that moment, how old they are. And that realization hits that I don't have very much longer left in this life. And I just wasted my entire life trying to appease everybody else. I wasn't who I actually was. And I'm sure that there's a lot that goes on in people's heads. And then they snap and they go, no, I wanted a Corvette when I was 8 years old. I'm going to go buy a Corvette. You know, like that was my dream. And I gave up on that dream. So there's a lot packed into there, but as far as like trauma and trying to heal those things go, the spell that I'm talking about is that there's something wrong with you. I think that that's a very big spell. And I think that it is conveniently used because we're in a state of not understanding what healing actually is. So when somebody tells you that you're not yourself, right? Like you're not being yourself or you're not who you actually are. I think it can be used for manipulative purposes first off, right? Because oftentimes you're not who you are is actually you're not who I want you to be, which is unfortunate. But finding out like when people tell you like there's something wrong with you, or when you think that there's something wrong with you, I would make the argument that there's actually nothing wrong with you. And the way that I've been thinking about it is if you're damaged as a child, right? Damaged in parentheses there or quotations. You're not actually damaged. All that's happening is you're putting up a wall. You know, like I don't think that anybody can really damage your soul like that. I think you're always who you actually are, but we end up putting walls up and eventually gets to a point where it's like you're a child in a cave that you have walled off. Like you've rolled stones in between every exit so that nobody can get in. But inside of that cave, there's still that child. That child's perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong with that child. There's just all these defenses in place now so that other people can't hurt them. So I think that when you try to find out what's wrong with you, it is a spell. It's like a time wasting path that I think is done by design. And it leads down the same roads that like conspiracy theory, truther type stuff leads down, you know, like there's some truth to be learned, but you see people who spend 40, 50 years trying to figure out the exact cocktail of what's in a chemtrail. And it's like, how's that serving your soul? You know, like what purpose is that giving you in life? It seems like wasted time to me, but when you do that, it also puts an expectation on us to find something that doesn't exist. So if somebody tells you that there's something wrong with you, right, then you're going to freak out. That's your initial reaction, is to go, oh no, there's something wrong with me. Now I have to find out what's wrong with me so that I can fix it. But if there's nothing wrong with you in the first place, then you're going to be launched down a path of wasting your life, living in anxiety, living in fear. And it causes like a terror in the mind, you know, like who am I? Because if society is telling me that this isn't how I should be, and people that I know are telling me that this isn't how I should be, then who actually am I? And I think that's what a lot of people are dealing with today. I think that everybody knows who they are. I think that there's no finding yourself that really needs to be done. I think it's more about letting those defenses down, letting those walls down, and just allowing yourself to be who you are. That actually needs to take place. So I'll stop there and let you guys weigh in.
Yeah. And also not being afraid of what other people think about you is a huge part of that, I think, as well, because then you could just, because I know from my own experience, I used to be a lot more sarcastic and more like, I was always like a nice guy, but I could also be an asshole. But as I started to get more into spirituality, I'll say, and walk this path, now I'm just more like a, and I said this the other day on my show, I'm just like a comedian all the time. You know, I'm always just trying to lighten situation and raise the vibration in the area, and just being myself. It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking about some things you said earlier. You were talking about like, when you're a child and you just have, like, you just have this boundless optimism and this just, you just go, go, go. You're like a little, like, what is it? Energizer bunny, you know? And I was thinking about when I was learning to snowboard some years ago, like a long time ago. And I was seeing the little kids around me. Like, I would come down a hill and I'd fall and I'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, okay, I need some time to get up. And I'd see these little like kids that are like 2 feet tall or 1 foot tall or whatever. And then like, they just like fall over and then they'd get right back up. And I'm like, why can't I be like that?
You could probably more from learning how to snowboard as a little child than you could in a school. You know, you just get to use all your energy and you learn to do something and get confidence in yourself.
I'll pop in real quick because, excuse me, that's what I was going to say. Is that I think is why we have this tear in who we are, is because we're from children taught that who we actually are is not who we should be. And you see that a lot in school, right? Like, you shouldn't be wanting to talk about this subject right now because we're doing math right now. And it's like, okay, well then
kids' minds are all over the place.
It's like, yeah. Well, and it's like, oh, well, there's something wrong with you because you're 6 years old and you can't sit still for 8 hours in a chair.
That's ridiculous.
No, like, and that happens in school. That happens at home. You see a lot of parents who are like stressed out from work, or whatever's going on in their life, mm-hmm. and they take it out on their children, right? Mm-hmm. Child wants to go outside and play
and yell and scream and play, yeah. and be loud. And
like a parent will tell them no. And oftentimes it's done in anger. So then the child subconsciously goes, there's something wrong with me then, because I wanted to go outside and play, but it's obviously not time to go outside and play. So why am I wanting to go outside and play? And when you do this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you just constantly have everybody telling you that you're not who you actually are or who you're supposed to be, then that's, I think, what causes that tear in the mind of being like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Yeah. But you do know who you are. You're just scared of being who you are because you're scared of somebody else telling you that you're wrong or that there's something wrong with you, probably because it was done to you as a child. And you've bottled it up. But the reality is it doesn't matter who the fuck you are. There's going to be people out there telling you that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And people really need to understand that. Like, you're never going to please everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's my current, because this whole topic is very relevant even in my life right now, because my current trigger is being questioned about like what I'm doing with my life and my worldview and how I see the world. And I feel it manifest from like a child, like from parents, you know, that expect you to be a certain way, go to church, rigid, this, that, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, or else you're not going to be saved, X, Y, Z, right? And so me coming out of that, me coming out of like a culty religion has caused me to be very much myself. And I've brought down, I think, some of the walls. But I'm in the stage of like, I still get triggered and I still start to yell and raise my voice when I'm questioned. And so that's what I'm working on, is like, I need to stop being triggered and just find some other way to like deal with it. I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brandon, you look like you have something to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny because I don't really get that a lot, because I think it's like this new joke I thought of, and I did it in a meeting yesterday. I had a wedding meeting, and I was going like this, and I'm like, all right, guys, I'm like, sorry. I'm like, I spent 10 minutes in the mirror, but I couldn't not look like a wizard. Sorry. I'm like, there's nothing I could do. And they just started laughing. I was like, Brandolf the Gray, and they're like, yeah. So I was like, all right, media. So, but yeah, that's gotta be rough. I kind of just defer to the fact that I think I'm a wizard and I think people just leave me alone, but maybe you should start saying you're a witch.
I'm, you know,
or a goddess, or all that might be, that might get you burned at the stake.
I allegedly came here incognito this lifetime because I've been burnt so many times in past lives, according to Asha. Yeah.
Well, see, this time, though, where we're at in our current iteration of this spiritual realm, you just get metaphorically burned at the stake. You know, obviously, yes. You don't really, because no one's got the balls to really burn you these days. So you'll be fine.
Yeah, I know.
Ask Woodshop.
That's facts. Yeah, so I'm just going over my notes. We touched on a lot of this stuff. What is the mechanism of suffering? I would say is like self-deprecation is what causes suffering, and self-deprecation meaning expectations of yourself, past, present, and future. We talked about that earlier. When you put those expectations on your past self, you're actually causing yourself damage in the present and also in the future. You're setting yourself up for even more suffering. Mm-hmm. It's a never-ending cycle. So then this is where it gets interesting, because you talked about this earlier. The body, I think, this is my notes say, the body is a vessel to be used to express who we are. Most people, get it backwards though, and they think that they are their body and their mind is just getting in the way, or like who they are is getting in the way. What I mean by that is not just the superficial, people want to look good and want to look hot or whatever, and they sacrifice, you know, intelligence or intellect. What I mean by that is people hyper-focus on what's going on with their body and not who they actually are, or the interests that they have, or the things that make them happy. Those are put on the back burner. And, I think that's detrimental to health and happiness and your entire soul. I think that you should be living in the opposite way. Obviously we want to be healthy because our bodies are our vessel, and the healthier it is, the more that we can utilize it to express ourselves. But if expressing yourself in this life and in a way that brings joy to others, you know, I should, it's so weird that we live in an age where I have to say that, but obviously as long as it's not hurting other people and you're bringing joy or helping others on their journey, you know.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. It's like people are so hyper focused on not being judged, but you'll find that you're judged more when you're being fake than when you're just your true authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird trap in life where you go like, oh, I don't want this person to think this of me. And, you know, it happens about the dumbest stuff, you know, like I love Lord of the Rings unapologetically. Like I love Tolkien. I love fantasy. I love all of this stuff. And, there are people in this world who will judge and have judged me, you know, like, oh, that's dumb. You shouldn't, that's for children to read and stuff. But it's like, I don't know. There's a pretty great C.S. Lewis quote that says someday you'll be old enough to read fairy tales again. And I love that.
And didn't Jesus say you have to become like a child to receive the kingdom of heaven? Hello.
Allegedly, that is how you're supposed to do it. Yep. And allegedly, children are a lot happier than grown-ups are. And allegedly, children have a lot less physical disease manifesting in their body because of spiritual and emotional baggage that they're holding onto than adults do. And children are much more accepting of other people, and they make friends easier. And, you know, we should be looking at children as teachers because they are much more connected with that spiritual realm. And we end up walling that off entirely. Yeah. So I think one thing that happens though is that we tend to, when you have your body as who you are, then when you're not feeling like yourself, like there's some sort of imbalance or some like something is not in harmony within you, right? You feel depressed or you feel anxious or you have this brain fog or something. I think we often go to what you were talking about earlier, which is like the supplements or it could be a specific workout routine or a specific diet or something.
And or we say, acupuncture or massage.
Yeah, this is going to fix me.
Yes.
And it's like,
I've done it hundreds of times.
Yeah. It's like, no, there is an element, like it might bring you relief temporarily, but you have to go deeper than that because the body is trying to tell you something.
The body never lies. There's books about that.
It's like a check engine light, right? So you could
like a
be
hard drive.
Yeah, you could have like legitimate issues physically. I'm not saying that they don't exist or they can't be resolved. You know, and diet is important and making sure that you get enough nutrients is important because we are physical beings. But you're not going to heal emotional damage or held trauma by eating more kale. Like it just, that's not how it works. You know, you might address a symptom of 30 years of holding on to that baggage, which could be like, you know, I'm deficient in this one mineral now because I've spent 30 years in a fight or flight state and my adrenals are shot and I'm sweating profusely all day and I'm sweating out this cocktail of minerals. So you can replace the minerals, but until you address that root problem, you're not going to fix anything. And I think it's interesting what happens with us. So I think that we paint with a broad brushstroke based on that trauma. So like I was saying, our body is a tool used to express, right? So if you have a car and your car is running really bad, right? We live in a society where most people will go, oh, this car's a piece of shit. Like they immediately get angry at the car for not working how they want the car to work. Oh, this car's a piece of shit. The car's not a piece of shit.
blame everything else because
the car just needs an oil change. You have not changed the oil in 5 years. It is black sludge in your car. And when you don't change the oil, then it begins to affect all these other parts, right? But we don't do those oil changes within ourselves. We don't ever self-reflect and look inside. And I think that we then take that same mindset and we paint it on everything. So if a great example is if you're a woman and you have a man hurt you when you're young, when you're a child, how many women do you see that go through life saying, well, men are evil? That huge, broad brushstroke, you know, and then your car dies and you go, oh, this car is a piece of shit. It's not the car. It's not men as a whole. You know, oh, this job is terrible. I hate this job. Everybody here is an asshole. You know, the list goes on. And they do that to everything in life. And you get people that are like to the point where they're like, I hate kids. I don't want children. You know, I couldn't ever do this. And it can get really, really dark. Like I've known people in my life like that who are like, I hate being around children. And I'm like, whoa,
that's scary.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's scary. That's dark. Yeah. And not like in an evil way, but just like, that's sad.
Yeah.
Cause children are just like pure love. Like they're the best, the best thing on earth. Like a child's laughter is healing. So yeah, it's this weird thing that happens where we end up carrying that way of thinking through life. And again, compare that to a child. The child doesn't think that about anything. You know, I have two children. They are almost three and one of them just turned four. We've been watching a lot of nature documentaries lately because they're super into animals. And every single animal that pops up, you know, daddy, can I ride that shark? You know, like they're not scared of nature. They don't think that things are evil.
Yeah,
they don't think that anything is evil. And these are things that could actually and would kill them without a second thought. That shark will eat that child and never think about it. But the child doesn't care. But then you have adults that are walking around being like, you know, everything is terrible. And that's just, you know, it's weird when people are like, why am I suffering? And I go, what have you thought about today? You've thought about how every one of your coworkers is an asshole. You've thought about how you hate your car. You've thought about how much you hate traffic. You thought about all this, just hate, anger. You walked around all day long fearing what other people are going to think of you to the point where you don't even engage in things that you enjoy. You know, you don't sit down and read a book. You don't watch a movie. You don't go out and do any activity that you used to like doing when you were a kid because somebody along the way told you that it was childish. You know, like what the hell's wrong with being childish? At this point, I'll just ask that question. What's wrong with being childish? Because children are way happier.
Yeah.
They're way more healing. You know,
you're as young as you feel. And if you feel like if you feel childish, go for it because that means you're young at heart.
Yeah. And it's like when you have Jesus telling us that the only way into heaven is like that of a child, then why are we demonizing being childish?
Yeah.
You know, like there's a way to, you know, my children are almost three and four. They know that when we go out to a store, they're to have good behavior. You know, like you're not going to go out and just scream in the middle of a bookstore.
Yeah.
They know that we don't run really fast in a bookstore or in a grocery store because there's other people there. So you can teach how to interact in society in a respectable manner mm-hmm. without stifling who the child is.
Mm-hmm. The time and place type of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I tell my girls, you know, you can still have fun. We're at the bookstore. That's why we're here. We're here to have fun. We can look at books. They have a little train set up in the bookstore in the children's book section. I say, yeah, we can go play with the trains. You know, there's two stories. So they go up to the big wall of windows and they look out and they try to find the car and stuff. I don't stop them from doing the things that they find enjoyment in. I just let them know there are other people here. So we'd be respectful. We don't yell, you know, we don't go screaming and tearing around the aisles, but you don't stifle that childlike wonder in them. But
I think an important distinction also is they want to go to the bookstore. You're not forcing them to go. It's kind of like a privilege. I'm sure it's how you're treating it with them. And it's a lot different when children are stuffed into like a school that they didn't really agree to go to. They were just brainwashed into thinking it was great. Yeah. Or a church. And then they act out and then, you know, the punishment comes or whatever. And that's the same thing. That's really where you're stifling it.
Absolutely.
I was thinking back on what you were talking about people getting angry and then their bodies telling them that something's wrong. I remember growing up and my mom would say something about like anger will like cause like you to get like ulcers or something like that. Like old wives tale type things, but they're true. They're based in truth because all that anger you build up will build up in your body somewhere, somehow, and it'll express and tell you that's not healthy. You need to change that. You need to let go of anger. You need to let go of those things. Not saying anger is a bad thing to experience, but holding on to it and not letting it go is the part that brings the dis-ease that has been, you know, that warns you. And then people end up with, you know, who knows, things like cancer or debilitating dis-ease, and they want to blame someone else for it, or they want to blame genetics or genes or their grandparents or whatever. And it's like, did you continue a problem that was going on in your family? Like, were your parents angry all the time? Were your grandparents angry? Is that why you have ulcers? Is that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always truth veiled in a lie. You know, it's not genetic in your genes. I think it could just be, like you said, those generational curses or behaviors, 100%. It's like, oh, my mom and dad both had diabetes, so that's why I have diabetes. No, your mom and dad fed you McDonald's for 20 years straight, and they ate McDonald's for 50 years straight. They never ate a vegetable. They never ate anything. Like, all they drank was soda. They were morbidly obese. You were obese by the time you were 10 years old. That's why you have diabetes. It has nothing to do with your genes.
It's escapism, right? Because
it's behavioral.
And it's escapism because it was like, oh, that's all we can do right now is just go to, like, no, you could have gone to the grocery store and you could have bought some vegetables. You could have made a nice salad. You could have bought some hamburger meat. You could have put your own burgers on the grill on a pan. It's cheaper than going to McDonald's, but no, you chose to do that. You could have done it yourself. You could have made your own food.
Yep.
But jeez, I'm sorry, Sharon. It was just one time.
No. I'm judging you for going to McDonald's, damn it.
But there's truth to that, though, because then those parents will typically grow up into their later years of life, and then they look back with what? Sometimes regret. Yes. And that's, again, those expectations on their younger self.
And it's like, that's what you did then. That's what you knew. You know, the only thing is to say, I can see how that was not the best way to go about it. I can only change the now. I can only change the present.
Exactly. Yeah. So that leads me to my final couple notes that I have here. fixing yourself is not simple. What I mean by that is it is not found in a pharmaceutical pill or a supplement or a workout routine or a diet or meditation or any one of these things. It's not that simple where you do one thing. You need to give who you actually are attention. I think that is much more beneficial than all of the other things. I think all those other things will fall in line as they're meant to, once you allow yourself to just be who you really are.
That, because, to me,
go ahead.
I was going to say that to me is the explanation of loving God. Because you can't love other people if you can't love yourself first, and you can't accept yourself for who you are.
So yeah, and isn't that interesting that we go, well, God made us in his image. He made us exactly how he wanted us to be. Mm-hmm. And then we spend our entire lives trying to be something else to appease men. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, basically. It's a really, really wild thing. I'm so unapologetic anymore. just being who I am, that, you know, people might think it's weird that I sit around and read sometimes during the day, you know, like, oh, you have kids.
For it.
No. Yeah. I love reading. I liked reading when I was a child. I stopped reading. one of my most fond memories, strangely enough, is we had this house. It was a really old house. It was built in the 1700s, and it had this just beautiful, it was like 8 foot wide mantle piece, like hanging above the mantle of this giant oversized fireplace. This piece was, it was from, I think they imported it from Ireland, like on an old ship, brought it over to the East Coast, carried it on a wagon all the way across the United States to Oregon, where I am. And they built this house around the fireplace with this mantelpiece. And it was like cherubs playing and stuff, like old, centuries old. And the house itself had this huge wraparound porch and huge French doors and stuff. It was a beautiful house, haunted as shit, but it was beautiful. And, one of my fondest memories growing up there, once we moved here to Oregon, was sitting outside because it had an old wooden porch swing. Just sitting outside one day while it was just dumping rain, and it was kind of cold. And I went inside and grabbed a big, heavy comforter and just went outside at like 8 or 9 years old and just wrapped up in the comforter with a book. And I was reading, but it was outside with the rain, and it was just peaceful. Everything was just peaceful and beautiful. And I really loved reading when I was a kid. And then I stopped doing it. And I don't know why. I think it was just one of those things where you're in school. And I had a buddy in middle school who's still my best friend to this day, who we really got into Lord of the Rings in middle school. And we found out recently, we had a really great talk, that at that time he was unaware that my parents were getting divorced, and it was just very chaotic and tumultuous in my home. And in his home, he was watching his oldest brother die of cancer, and his brother was like in his 20s maybe.
Oh man.
And neither of us knew that at the time, but we just became best friends, and we always talked about Lord of the Rings, and it was great. But then you get into high school, right? And again, it's those societal, that societal pressure, you know, like you're in high school, you don't want to tell somebody that you're reading some fantasy book in your spare time, because you're supposed to be popular, right? Like you're supposed to be known, you're supposed to be popular. You want people to like you. You want to get a girlfriend. You want all of these things. So then you end up shifting and morphing who you are in order to fit in. And I just didn't read for a long time. And like the last year, I've just been devouring books and just being calm and happy. And I've been exponentially more happy than I have been probably in 20 years, just allowing myself to do those things. And I'm not by any means perfect or like completely in one harmony with who I actually am. Like this is a never ending journey, but these are just things that I've found. Like when you allow yourself to just be who you are, I think that this whole idea of I have to find myself is bullshit. There's no other way. I don't think that you ever lose yourself. I think that you just
uncover
yourself. Yeah, you just have to allow yourself to be who you are, and ironically, like that's how you heal. I think that in itself is just how you heal. I don't think that it's a I don't think it's a matter of like taking the right supplement, doing the right workout routine, getting the right haircut, driving the right car, making the right amount of money, living in the right place. It's like healing in itself. If I could sum up what healing actually is, it's letting go of expectations. That's it. Like
so much
letting go of expectations.
Absolutely.
And you could unpack that in any way, but like if you, and you know what, I think that's like what forgiveness is as well.
Oh yes.
Is letting go of the expectation that you put on somebody else, that they then broke. Once you do that, you can actually forgive people.
I love that. I love that explanation. That's very helpful, because sometimes, you know, I ask myself, well, what is it? What does it mean to forgive somebody? Like, if I forgave somebody, what does that truly mean? And how can I be practical about that? So that's helpful, I think. Letting go of the expectation that they're going to be someone that you think you want them to be. No, just let them be who they are, even if who they are is still veiled by a bunch of walls that they put up that they don't want to bring down. And that's who they are. And maybe they'll never bring those down, but that's not your problem.
Exactly. That's one of the cool things about, excuse me, getting older too, is you get to look back on your parents and go, oh, they weren't trying to hurt me. Like they weren't trying to cause trauma. Not in every situation. There are some just terrible parents, but 99% of the time it was not done with any malicious intent.
They were doing the best they could.
That was just how you perceived it as a child, because you had these expectations on them. And that doesn't minimize that things hurt when you're a child, but you get to adulthood and you, especially if you have children, and you know, you might raise your voice to your child one time, and that's all it takes for you to go, oh no, I didn't want to hurt my child. I was just stressed and they're screaming in my ear, you know? And then you go, oh, okay. Maybe my parents weren't trying to destroy my life like it felt like when I was 8 years old, you know, maybe they were just overwhelmed themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the key there is to let go of that expectation that you've been holding on to since childhood.
Yeah. I really like that. Something else I was thinking about relatively recently too was this like concept of, because I was also thinking about how Jesus said, you know, we become like a little child. And I just thought too about how, and you know, this is just me thinking out loud, but how children have so much wisdom. And like someone might say, but they're not old. They haven't lived 50 years, 60, 70, 80. How's that wisdom? And to me, it's like, it's their intuition. It's the fact that they were born so recently and they haven't encountered the quote evil in the world as much as a 60, 80 year old man has, you know? And so their wisdom is pure. It's intuitive. It's potentially from a past life, you know, or from God, you know, could it be? And like you were saying, that children intuitively eat, right? They can be like, oh, I want that right now, or no, I don't really want that right now. I was thinking about how it's related. You relate that to like muscle testing and how people muscle test these days. Like your body knows. And when you ask it a question and then you muscle test, it will tell you. It will tell you yes or no. And like you can put like if you're deficient in iodine or something, you know, and you put iodine in your hand, then they muscle test you again and your body's fine. It's like, well, you probably should supplement with iodine for a little bit, you know, see if that helps. But like you said, yeah,
make it your personality and not expect it to heal you.
Exactly. Like
100%.
Exactly.
Yeah, kids are crazy like that. My kids, they intuitively eat, and it's especially funny with this wave of realizing how much we've been lied to, right? Like eggs are bad. Eggs are
bad. Yeah.
But now they're good. But now they're bad. But now they're good. But now they're bad. Yeah.
Oof.
Red meat full of carcinogens. No, it's not. You know, saturated fats will give you heart disease. No, they won't. Cholesterol is what kills you. No, it's not. It's what tries to save you all day long.
Exactly.
All of these lies that we've been told. And then I look at my children eating. My children eat so many eggs. It is absurd. They love red meat. They love chicken. They love dairy products. You know, like they like drinking milk. They love cheese. They love animal based and they love fruit. They eat fruit all day long. If I put a vegetable in front of them, no. And I remember doing that as a child too, right? And I thought that's that it was a taste thing, but that's intuitive.
Yeah.
That's an aversion to foods that really aren't that great for you. And that's a whole other conversation. But the nutritional side of it is, yes, they do have nutrients in them. Most of them are not as bioavailable as from
animal products or fruits.
Yeah. And most of them have some pretty gnarly defense chemicals in them.
What's it called? Oxalates.
Yeah. Oxalates. They, so like, I didn't like vegetables as a kid. I liked some, like I liked carrots, you know, but,
those are more
potatoes.
Like
potatoes, but like when you're talking about like the heavy greens
type things. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we carry that though. You know, our parents, oh, sit down and eat your vegetables. And then we carry that throughout life. So then we get older and we go, I really want to eat a steak. My body's telling me that I need to eat that steak. It looks so good. It smells so good. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to get heart disease and die. And I don't want to be judged because all of my friends are ordering this huge kale salad, which is just stuffed with oxalates. So I'm going to get this salad to fit in with them. And we do every single decision that we make, most people make is based on that fear of being judged or that fear of fitting in and just not being who you are. Your body's telling you that it needs something in that red meat.
Yeah. Years ago when I was probably in college and after, I started noticing the pattern of, back in those days, I would watch the media and like check the internet for like stories and like news and stuff like that. And then, you know, one day you would see that coffee was like the greatest thing for you. And it was, you should have it every day. And it was like this, that, and the other. And the next day it was like, oh, researchers have found that coffee is going to kill you if you drink it every day. So you better stop. And I'm just like, are these people bi freaking polar? What the hell? Like, they don't know what they're talking about. Like one day it's great and the next day it's not. Sorry, but I don't trust you anymore. Yep. And I stopped looking at the freaking news and I stopped watching the news because it was bullshit.
I remember when I was trying to figure out how to get over this constant fight or flight state that I was in years ago. I started researching and adrenal fatigue and everything. And it said, one of the worst things that you can do is to take a nap during the day because then it throws off your nightly routine of getting sleep and stuff. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. My kids,
intuition,
my kids,
sleep whenever you feel like sleeping.
If your body is telling you, you need sleep, get sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And it's just, my kids will sleep. We actually tested this last week because they're 3 and 4, almost 3 and just turned 4. They'll still nap for a couple hours every single day. And then they'll sleep for 10 hours at night straight. And my wife and I were going, I wonder what it would be like if we tried no naps. Maybe they'd go to sleep a little bit easier at night. So we did like 3 or 4 days with no naps. My youngest daughter could not stay awake come 5:30, right around dinner time. She's out like a light on the couch snoring,
tired, exhausted.
And by 7:30, our oldest daughter, who just turned 4, complete shift in who she is. Angry, crying, tired. And I went, oh, that's interesting to look back and think about those times when I was reading about adrenal fatigue. And it's like, no, they actually, I feel like, are getting that from not taking that nap. So again,
they don't know how to express. They don't know what's going on. And all they can do is cry and get angry because there's no other mechanism for them to alert you and tell you they're tired.
Exactly. Yeah. And my youngest doesn't even speak. She just is on the couch and then she goes to sleep. You know, like, it's intuitive. It's what she needs at that moment. And she allows herself to have it.
Absolutely.
There are times where my children just want to sit quietly and read a book. And then there's other times where they want me or my wife to read the book, or there's times where they want to sit down and read a book together. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but they allow themselves to do what they need in that moment. And I think we could learn a lot from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Beautiful. Who knew this would be about returning to be like a little child?
I've been talking about it for like a year. I just feel like a lot of people didn't hear what I was saying, but I think a lot of people would do well to give up the fake personas, you know, quit acting like you're something that you're not and just be who you are. There's nothing wrong with admitting that things hurt you when you were young. But if you're not trying to get past them and move beyond them, then you're choosing your own suffering, and you're choosing to be insufferable to others as well.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah.
Lovely discussion.
Is that the end of your notes?
That's the end of my notes. Yeah. So if there's anything you guys want to add on, feel free.
I mean, I guess we could just kind of reiterate how this, how these things happen to us when we're children. Then we put on these personas, put up these walls, and it's just all about being yourself, you know? It's crazy.
Go back to being yourself when you were a little child and you had all the freedom to be who you wanted to be.
Back when you were happy.
Own imagination, when you were happy. Yeah.
How many people are, oh, I'm not happy. Yeah. Then go back to when you were happy. Do the things that you did back then.
Good call. Yeah.
And to, excuse me. I'm going to bring back our quote from the beginning of the show. Can you remember who you were before the world told you who to be? Yes.
Great quote.
Very synchronistic.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like more information, well, let's do this first. What's up, chat? We'll give a shout out to the chat. Thank you guys for hanging out. Thank you so much. Every week you guys come here. Every Thursday at 8:33 p.m., come hang out in the chat. We either do these as a live, or we do them like this one where we do them ahead of time and then premiere them. So come check them out. And if you want more about us, you can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. Click on the oversharing tab. And you could find us on YouTube at Brandon Bonanza or at any of the podcast servers. Just go to Podbean. We have all the links at morelawsmoreproblems.com in the oversharing tab. So just go there, and that's how you can support us.
Indeed.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to plug, Nick?
Not other than go read Lord of the Rings at this point. Like, just find something that you enjoy and
absolutely.
Just do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll all be reading more Lord of the Rings, more Dune, more other stuff. Like I mentioned, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy too. I wanna listen to the old, I think it was a radio program in the UK back in the day. I want to listen to those old ones and then maybe read the books, because they published them as books and then they made movies and all that sort. But yeah, that's one of my favorite movies. I could watch that. I could always watch that movie. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It's remarkable. Fun. It's so fun.
It's so silly and so like it talks about real world and like how things are. It's just funny. The Bogons. Oh my gosh, they're retarded. Oh God. But yeah.
I gotta rewatch that soon. I'll end with one little thing here. Anybody who watches this or hears what I'm saying and says that's childish, or doing something like reading a book or watching a movie is escapism, yeah, it is, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well,
I know
this
say...
world is psychotic. Reading your Bible is also a form of escapism, because you're thinking about somewhere that you want to end up that's better than where you are. Everything could be labeled as escapism, but if it's bringing you joy and making you a better person and making you somebody who can be of better service to others, and it's not hurting anybody, then what's the problem with it?
Absolutely. I would say if you're watching a movie or you're reading a book because you like to do that, then that's what you're doing. You're doing you. You're returning to who you are, right? And that is if you've already done some of the work and you're continuing to do the work to heal those aspects of yourself. And by doing those things, that's the healing part, is you're returning to the person that you really are. You're expressing you. So that is healing. I wouldn't say it's escapism at all.
No, if you want to heal yourself, then stop worrying about healing yourself and just be who you are.
Love it.
Everything else is going to fall into place.
Love it.
Well, that's the wisdom we get from Woodshop the Wise, everybody.
Yes.
All right. Well, one more time, like the shout out to the chat. Thank you guys for hanging out all the way to the end. We love you. You guys are the best. And make sure you share, subscribe, thumbs up, all that fun stuff. And what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That once you start oversharing,
then you totally stop being a Karen.
That's right.